Well, good morning, everybody. On the last day of September 2021, I said it on an earlier show today, I just can't believe it's already September 30th. And I know that because tomorrow is October 1st. September's gone, just like that. Anyway, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. As you know, we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's where we're going to archive this podcast. That's where our magazine, Equity and Access, lives at ace-ed.org. And we have a new issue going to be put on site either later today or tomorrow. Okay, the brand new September-October issue. We always publish that right at the end of that first month indicated, so it spans both of them. All right, and you'll enjoy the issue very, very much. The one that's up there right now is absolutely excellent. That's number one, the October issue. Excuse me, the August issue is up there right now, August, September, next one, September, October. The August, September that's up there now is the first of our two back to schools, the new one coming up tomorrow. We also have our new website, which is called SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning. We're very proud of it. That's brand new, but you might want to go over there and see what we're doing. That's SELtoday.org. I got a real good treat for you today. We've got Dr. Ashley Norris. And Dr. Norris, Ashley, is the Chief Academic and Compliance Officer at Measure Learning, and that's M-E-A-Z-U-R-E, at Measure Learning, which is the parent company of a good company you guys all know called Proctor U. And she is an expert, as is the company, I might add, on academic integrity. All right, and she's got a long involved education in this, in educational integrity. She's the chief academic officer over at Proctor U, part of Measure Learning, and we're going to talk about how we secure academic integrity and why that is an equity issue. It's that simple. So without further ado, I'll call you Ashley. Ashley, it's Larry Jacobs here. How you doing?
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Yeah, I am just
good
fine. You're down, good morning to you. And are you down in Alabama today?
I am. I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and actually Proctor U and Measure Learning were headquartered here. So,
well, you know, I usually when I have somebody from Alabama on, I always ask them the question, Auburn or Alabama, but I have a feeling you're a Crimson Tide girl. I might be wrong. Am I right?
I am a Crimson Tide girl, and I
Crimson Tide woman.
Actually,
yeah.
I'm a Tide.
Yes.
That's right, a Crimson
yes.
Tide woman.
Yes.
I am going to the game this weekend. We have a big
good
game against Ole Miss. So,
yes, good for you.
So
there you
roll
go,
tide.
Ladies and gentlemen. And that concludes today's show, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm only kidding. Right. That was just great. All right. And tell us, you know, you are, you really are. And you wrote us a beautiful article up on our site over at ace-ed.org all about exam integrity, how it's an issue of equity. How did you get to have an interest in exam and academic integrity? Ashley.
Sure. So actually, I did my doctorate at University of Alabama. And back in the day, and I studied moral psychology. So that
oh, wow.
I was part of part of educational psychology. And
wow.
So I fundamentally
I
got
love that.
Really fascinated with, you know, moral judgments, especially there's a theory called moral disengagement, the Bandura theory, but in essence, it's about, you know, how and why people do things. Even they may have this, you know, kind of rigid moral code, but how and why people do things that may be outside of that, right? What are the social environmental factors, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, my career spans through working in different faculty positions, working as an administrator at a big online university, and I've just became really intrigued with ethics my entire career. So, you know, that turned into creating a code of ethics for teachers, for teacher
yep.
educators, and, you know, working with a team to implement that. And then just overall, you know, I think the integrity and validity of degrees and also kind of the darker side of that, right? Like what things can be in place to where even a student who may not necessarily, you know, who may have integrity, and may not want to cheat on the exam, but there can be environmental factors that trigger that or promote that, encourage that in a way. So, you know, that's just been my life's work, my life's interest. And so at Proctor U, you know, having working with a technology or a tool that basically upholds integrity has been a really interesting venture, you know, from a research perspective and just from a technology perspective, really, and working with our universities.
I have to say, and I never heard of, I love this, moral psychology as a major. I think that's fantastic. And I feel like I'm talking to Socrates now, okay? Can a moral person that cheat on a test, you know, it's that kind of a question. Are you still a moral person?
Right.
All right? And that's fascinating. I got to tell you, it's the ethics of academia. All right, that you were talking about here,
sure.
In moral psychology. I think that's fascinating. Ashley, I got to tell you, I've never heard that major before. I think that's fascinating. I really do. Boy, Proctor U has found the right person. Okay, I have to tell you, that's just incredible. Well, thank you for coming on the show today. This was great. So let me ask you, what's going on? And I remember when I was a kid, and you probably remember this too, my teacher used to have a big sign. Winners never cheat and cheaters never win. Do you remember that sign? Yeah, okay.
Yes. With the promotional things in the classroom.
Exactly, okay. And so, you know, with that in mind, okay, and I read about this stuff too, there seems to be a surge or a questionable surge, I don't know how to put it, about cheating. All right. And the ones I've been reading about mostly take place in higher education. But we're also talking to pre-K-12 here. And I think there may be a challenge even in K-12. Just talk about what's going on with this surge. Is it the pandemic? Is it a lack of morals across the country? Or is it, in fact, all made up and it's not as bad as we think? Ashley, Dr. Norris.
Well, sure.
My new resident philosopher, I might add. I love this.
And I can send you plenty of research and articles later too, if you get as fascinated as I did.
I'm loving it. Yeah, I'm loving it.
But so there are a few interesting things happening, right? We have this global pandemic. Students quickly, and this is K-12 as well, right?
I believe it
everywhere.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah, the world kind of shut down, and, you know, schools shut down, and students in higher education, students in the K-12 setting, everyone essentially went home. And, you know, I would say even more impacted in K-12 is that schools were not ready or equipped with any technology to convert the courses assessments to online learning, right? So
we
see some other interesting things happening there where it's just, you know, there's a lot of conversation about just people falling behind, missing, you know, fundamental academics that they need in those areas. But in higher ed specifically as well, students were essentially asked to go home, you know, miss the fun part of the end of their year, right? And college students everywhere were also at, you know, we saw at Proctor U that and it was many of our clients many of our universities that had already worked with us, but predominantly with online programs. You know, remote proctoring has always been used widely in assessment and online programs because, and students expect that, right? I take an online course. I'm going to do these, you know, different modules. I'm going to turn in these assignments online. I'm going to do my assessment, you know, remotely proctored, which is via somebody watching you through a webcam, especially if it's a multiple choice or objective-based assessment. You know, if it's a paper, no. There's other methods, right, in online education. But so what we saw was this huge surge of, you know, college students that basically felt they had no choice. They have this new technology. It was really hard to educate everyone and say, you use it this way. And so, you know, I think that was a factor, right? I mean, we've been proctoring for about 13 years, and, you know, there's a whole process of just kind of educating people on board with using tools, period, for your courses and doing online assessments. And this was just a totally different world, right? That's, okay, you need to do it this way, or, you know, and So some of that, you know, from an we did see, you know, this ramp from our, we measure statistics on, you know, we call them confirmed breaches or confirmed incidents, right? Where basically we see somebody on camera whip out a cell phone to look up a question or, you know, bring in a cheat sheet, whatever, right? But we definitely saw a significant increase in this. But, of course, that's, it's, you look, go back and look at the factors. Is it because they really didn't kind of understand how the technology works? You know, they thought because it was online, it should be or would be different. But, you know, fundamentally, all, I mean, you take a test in a classroom, you're proctored, right? There's someone there. They're used to kind of that type of oversight and monitoring. So that was really interesting because, yeah, that's something that muddles the statistics, I think, right? Is even vendors and technologies are like, whoa, you know, we saw an increase. It's not just as simple as, oh, you know, there was this huge increase because there are other variables. You know, you had a population of people that really didn't, you know, an online assessment is different. I mean, online learning is different, you know, and teachers were asked everywhere, were asked just to flip a switch. And, you know, this is, people get degrees in this for a reason, right? They're instructional designers and all these, all these professions, you know. So I think that was a major factor just, I mean, especially from our perspective is that, you know, students didn't really know how it worked in the new world. And, you know, also just in general, you do online assessments differently. I mean, we, you know, I've spoken with many faculty that were like, you know, we didn't do any type of proctoring or we didn't do anything. And of course all my students ended up with A's, right?
Yeah.
Or that, I mean, it was a significant difference in the grades they made at midterm versus final. Right. But they had, they tried to administer exams the best they could, you know? So, and there is in moral psychology and moral disengagement, one of the big kind of factors there is they talk about advantageous comparison or, you know, there's these different parts of that theory that basically talk about you are at a disadvantage if everyone is cheating and you're not, essentially, right? Or everyone's doing it and you're actually disadvantaged because you're not. And I think that's when we talk about equity, that's a big part of it, right?
It sure is.
So,
I mean, it's just fascinating to me, you know, and that, and again, the world changed, but we tended to, I hope we never get to the point where we accept cheating, all right? And I'll just sum it up in a nutshell, okay? The point is, a kid may cheat, and I'll just use this as a crazy example, and get an A, but if they're in medical school, as an example, all right, I really don't want a doctor who had to cheat on his examination on heart, the subject of heart, H-E-A-R-T, okay? I want a guy, a lady, who actually knows what they're doing, all right? And to me, cheating affects everyone. It's that simple. And what fascinated me, you wrote an article for us on our website, and I read that there were there are actually, which I couldn't believe, but why not, cheating sites on the web. Is this true? Cheating sites on the web?
Oh, yes.
What is a cheating site? Don't give the names, but what are they doing?
I won't.
Yeah, please.
So,
what are they doing?
And we actually, it's interesting. So we had developed a team a couple of years ago to even monitor, you know, the web for some of our key clients as a test security, you know, if their content or even if people are selling services like contract cheating, which happens, you know, or finding ways to try to like, hey, I know how to beat Proctor U and I'm going to sell you my service. So we've always had this arm, this security, test security arm that's combating that, getting those sites taken down, exploring all of that. But specifically with these sites that, you know, not only do contract cheating, so that would be like, can I write a paper for you, right? But that have the actual content, it's very interesting because that's something that we saw significantly, I guess, gain popularity, especially during the pandemic with online assessment. And essentially, it goes this way. Individuals get their hands on the exam content. I mean, you know, this has happened all through time. I even remember when I was in college, you know, a couple of the sororities said, hey, we have a test bank, right?
Yeah.
So it's that concept, but basically what's interesting is the content is online on these sites. You can buy membership, and it's kind of, you know, guised
membership
under a test prep. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Right. But it's the actual content. I mean, you know, it's a
wow.
really, yeah. So that
wow.
thing, that, and, you know, obviously an online assessment, I mean, if you have the test, you know, and you study the test, to your point, Larry, I mean, do you want somebody in the medical profession, which they use a lot of objective-based assessments, right? Multiple choice, because you have to learn kind of, you know, vocabulary before you learn the practical, right? Do you want somebody
Absolutely.
Who might get, you know, I mean, things all confused or parts of the body confused? And no, you know, you don't want somebody in the medical profession who has basically memorized a test. But when they
right.
get in the room, they can't remember exactly where to put the needle, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I feel like in shock here. All right, it's you know, and of course there was cheating back when, there always has been, et cetera. But with technology, it changes, which brings me actually to ProctorU. Tell everybody what ProctorU actually, how they kind of know what it is, but how it works, et cetera. What's the, if I may, the technology, et cetera, behind it? What do you guys actually
sure.
do? Yeah, go ahead.
So,
go do a sales pitch. Yeah.
Well, and it's actually a great question, because I can't tell you how many conversations that I'm in, or and you kind of assume people know what it is. But I'll be honest, Larry, I mean, before I really worked in online education, I had no idea what remote proctoring was.
They kind of
know
what it is. They kind of know what it is, but they really don't know what it is. Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. So there's a couple of key things that happen. So, you know, from a test taker's perspective, so student or whatever, you know, I can use a laptop or I can use a desktop, and I essentially log into a platform. So, you know, with set up an appointment to take an exam, say schedule an exam, or you can take some, you know, of our services we do have on demand. So you can just kind of take it immediately, right? Take it immediately. And first, the key process is I'm the student. I get on my laptop, you know, go to the platform. My exams, I first go through an authentication process. So this is essentially where I show my ID. You know, Proctor verifies that I am the person on my ID, which matches the name.
Didn't even think
which
of
you
that.
Can imagine how important that is, because, I mean,
didn't
essentially, you know, especially on a platform, you know, Larry's brother could be Larry, right? So, you know, there's a whole authentication process that uses technology there, you know, pretty advanced technology. And then you can take your exam, you know, and authentication is really key for proxy, what we call proxy cheating. So essentially having somebody sit in for your exam, right?
Well,
which, students, I mean, you know, people would do for, and people do sell for a cost, but authentication is really critical. And then essentially, you know, during the exam, you have a proctor who greets you, welcomes you, you know, do you need anything, helps you through if you have any technical issues, right, cameras not working, something like that, and they watch you take your exam, you know. And these are, you know,
literally,
you anyway.
Literally.
These are
literally.
Right. Literally watch
wow.
you take your exam. I know it sounds kind of boring if it's a two-hour exam, right? But, you know. Our proctors are trained and certified, though, and, like, they know the behaviors, right? I mean, we have it down because this is what we do. So we know when somebody's taking an exam. And, you know, there are other rules where they say, okay, you need to sit at a desk and make sure your space is cleared, right? So they do a camera pan around the room just to make sure that there's not – I mean, we've had incidences before, Larry, of a drone, for instance, flying in a room that was trying to take pictures of an exam. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, and we're looking for devices, things like that when we do the camera pan, or a person in the room. I mean, that's another really common way in remote, you know, online assessment that, you know, you have a buddy who's in there next to you, right? And they're Googling the answers or taking the exam.
Oh my
God. So that's why that camera pan, and we call it securing the environment, is really so critical, you know, or else it would be kind of easy, right? And then, you know, securing cell phones.
I
mean,
I
obviously
wish you could see me.
Things
I wish you could see me. I'm sitting here with my mouth open with all this. This is incredible. Right. Right. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
a drone. I love it.
Yes. The drone was funny because the drone came in after the secure, you know, you secure the room, right? And then you kind of, and you make sure no one else comes in. And the proctor's watching for these things. And the proctor first caught the drone because they heard the noise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's another way.
A small helicopter
in
the room, yeah.
A small helicopter. And they said, what's that, you know. And so the proctor will say, and we also have these intervention specialists that are trained in conflict resolution, right? Because we really, I mean, we want the test experience to be good, too. So, like, your proctor, it needs to be kind of an ally in that, greets you, makes you feel, you know, this is high anxiety situation.
Good point.
When you're taking a test. So,
good point.
Yeah. So, you know, we have this other team, trained team of individuals that essentially come into the session and they would say, okay, I hear a strange noise. Can you, you know, can you take your laptop or can you take your camera and point it up? And that's when we caught the drone. So,
oh my
but the drone was kind of coming in. I know.
Yeah.
So,
my God.
Oh, we've seen all sorts of things, Larry. Ooh. I mean, during authentication, so a few of our exams, you know, especially the longer ones, they have bathroom break. And essentially, the student can go use the bathroom or they can take a break, and then you come back and you secure the room again, right? Or go, you know, through authentic, I mean, depending on the rules. And we have had an incident where an individual, the person who went through authentication was the female, you know, a college-age student, right, college-age female, and it was around Halloween, and this is key. And so she went to the restroom, so, you know, who comes back, but, you know, a boyfriend, a guy friend with a blonde wig on and a 5 o'clock shadow.
No.
To finish her exam. So, yeah,
oh
I mean,
God.
There's all, you know, all kinds of stories that are, We've had mother-daughter swap outs.
Oh, my. Mother-daughter. What is this, like a Lori Loughlin getting their kid into college or something? Mother-daughter. That's great. Okay. When you folks are proctor, because again, it's Proctor U, okay, when you folks are proctoru.com, I should say, when you guys are proctoring an exam. And I think back to when I was in college, you know, there'd be 20 kids in a room or whatever, and the professor would be sitting at their desk. All right. And this was a long time ago.
Right.
All right. But now, which is the kind of the standard thing of testing in college, but with online and everything else, how many students, like what they used to announce, the test will be on Friday at the 9 o'clock class. All right, but now, and you said they can take it on demand, et cetera. How many students can be taking a test at the same time if a client school is using Proctor U? If there's 30 kids taking the test, are there 30 proctors looking at them? How's it work?
So, just
the mechanics.
Yeah, So if we have 30, our system is centralized, and that essentially we have, you know, I think we're at 1,400, 1,500 proctors. So at any given time, you have all of these proctors watching multiple exams, right?
Wow.
And it's not, I mean, they're trained and certified. Like if, you know, we have clients that are trained and certified, right? In even in special, like specialty exams to, okay, in this exam, you do this, you know, this is a different rule, right? And it's really key that a proctor, that's the first thing when they're proctoring you. So Larry comes in, he might be taking an admissions exam, which is different than, you know, Dr. Smith's final, right?
Right.
So when Larry comes in, if he's taking that admissions exam, you know, the proctor, the first thing they'll do is they'll look at the rules. And they'll make sure, because they are different. We customize that, you know, because different tests have different rules, right? Depending on stakes, depending on if they're long, like I said, they allow bathroom breaks, stuff like that.
Right.
So So how the system would, you know, even if you have 30 in Dr. Smith's class, they could all come in at one time, but they're going to different proctors who all have a set of standards, who all set of rules. And so it's almost like you really have to flip the model and flip your thinking of what a regular classroom would look like, where you have one professor watching 30 students.
I think it's,
you know,
I think
and
it's
I remember
brilliant.
It's,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and I remember teaching in the classroom even, you know, and I mean, when you talk about equity, it's there are interesting things. When I was a professor, you know, and I've been kind of focusing a lot on this, is even there would be the two or three students who would have extra time or something like that, right, or have some sort of assistive technology, and they couldn't test or assess with the other students, right, because – you know, they'd have to go to the library or test it on a different date that may be inconvenient for them, but they couldn't, you know, if Larry got double time on his exam, for instance, because he had an accommodation or had to use an assistive technology like a screen reader,
right,
you know, something
right
in a digital exam,
right,
you couldn't, you know, test with your other. So there's this other issue of kind of inclusivity and equity, because it's not, you're like, you, Larry, may have to go on a Saturday and go to a different drive to a place, you know, a testing center, and then go take your test there, right? And what I think is really interesting about a centralized way of doing this is you, Larry, even without accommodation, can come in just like your other classmates, same time, same day. And because we can kind of, you know, we handle accommodations where we essentially, you know, put them in a system, and there's, you know, it's a, I mean, they're validated by the university, of course, but the proctor can handle it. So you could start your test with me at 10, but, you know, your test may last till, you know, noon instead of, you might not have 11
mm-hmm
the time allotted.
Yep.
So it's really interesting from an equity standpoint,
wow,
because, and even an inclusivity, right, where the class, you're not kind of set outside of the class. And right, where there truly can be kind of this feeling of equity in an online assessment, which I just think is interesting. Something I've been we've been talking about a lot more and more, you know, when it comes to equity. So,
you know, and there's
access,
so much talk about
right
here. And I hope, Ashley, no one who takes your moral psychology course, okay, is caught cheating. We have to seriously talk about that. Right, that would be the ethics course. Okay, I have to ask you something. We've been talking about proctors and all the training that your proctors go through and all that. You can talk about that if you like. But you guys have, and you made a big announcement in May. I just want to go over this because I think this is fascinating. All right, that you dropped the AI, the artificial intelligence only AI proctoring, okay, and then
right
went to fully human, if I may, proctoring, all right, which I think
yep
is a very, very important thing. And so why is it different? Why'd you do that? All those questions, Bob. Go ahead, please.
Sure.
Ashley.
So,
yeah. This
so
is cool.
What we
again
found was, it was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had this, we did have an AI-only product that, and many of our competitors have a product that, you know, similar. And we really developed that to kind of compete, you know, in that space, right? We
sure
always, we've always been focused on humans and training and, you know, we're the you know, oldest first largest proctoring company. So it started
that's
with
right
our founder
yeah
essentially watching somebody through a webcam as a need, you know, like a, just like, hey, we need to figure out how this person can take a test. We're going to watch them on, you know, whatever version of Zoom was back then, right? But watch them through a webcam. So that's how it started. So we've always been about people, the proctors, but we have this AI-only product that essentially how it worked is it was a software program that would record the student, and then it would, you know, send the recording, spit out the recording with some notes and flags to the faculty. Well, I can tell you, Larry, I was a faculty member for years, and the last thing – you know, I even burned myself by giving way too many quizzes, open-ended
yeah
questions, like my
yeah
first year. And then
yeah,
I had, guess what, a class of 100, I had about 700 pieces of paper to grade, right?
Yeah.
And I was
yeah
like, what did I do, you know?
That's right. We learned that lesson. Yeah.
We all,
that's funny.
Right. We always make those rookie mistakes. So, you know, we started to realize, and again, this was a really, really small percentage and specific use case that we actually sold this for. But, you know, those faculty members, they're not going to review the videos. They're not trained to, you know, we have trained certified proctors that can watch videos much more quick. They know what they're looking for, right? So they can watch it, pick up behaviors. But, I mean, no faculty member is going to watch. Can you imagine a class of 40 each taking an hour-long exam? I mean, you know, doing reviews, right? And not really know what they're looking for. And so we just said, no, we're not going to compete in this space. That's putting way too much labor and onus on the faculty. We know what we're doing, and we have live trained proctors, and we really want to focus on this human first.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, in the media and everything, you know, there was a lot of kind of noise, especially with our competitors, about some of the kind of ill effects of just using software only, or, you know, putting it on the faculty to review. Because, you know, I can imagine being a faculty and watching something and going, oh, I think they cheated, you know, not
yeah.
really being trained, right?
Yeah, exactly.
In the platform. And then saying, you cheated, you know, and they're like, what? I was allowed to do that. You know, I mean, it's just, it's, so yeah, that was, you know, and we really want to focus on, I mean, we've invested so much in the proctors and they really are critical to, you know, the process. So.
Yeah. And I'll say this, you know, we're talking about technology here. Okay, and it's very good that we use technology for all of these things, but we can't lose, and you guys figured this out, the human factor, all right? And that makes all the difference in the world, all right? And you learn that as you go through this sort of stuff. You did a good thing, okay? And what does a proctor have to go through? How do you – are they ex-teachers? What are they? Or are they teachers? Maybe I'll say it that way. What are they?
So many of our proctors, and we hire them through you know, we have a couple of partners. So we have proctoring facilities all over the world.
No, I said you were going to say it's Procter & Gamble, but I knew that was a bad joke, wasn't it? That was a bad joke. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which is funny. I actually had a job in grad school working for, Monster.com, but it was part of Procter & Gamble. That's funny.
There you go.
yeah, that was a throwback. Woo!
Monster.com,
so,
right. That's funny.
Right. That's what happens when you're in grad school for a while. You have a lot of jobs.
So they're
all over the world, and in which, you know, especially during the global pandemic, we always had a global redundancy plan, and this is due to, in part, we had a major proctoring facility that was wiped out by Hurricane Maria several years ago.
Wow.
And we couldn't get in touch with them. Yeah. It was in Dominica, area.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And they were completely wiped out. I mean, you know, devastated. And our people there were trying to get in touch with them. So it also became important for our organization to have global redundancy. So we have locations in, you know, South America, Canada, North America, the Philippines. And that has been something pretty, I mean, they all, you know, we have a third party quality team that audits them. They have managers that, you know, there's a whole infrastructure and training program. And so really they're all over the world. You know, we have a global workforce and we're pretty proud of that and pretty proud of, you know, the comprehensive training we have, but it's the most scalable and, you know, best way. And a lot of these partners, Larry, have been with us a long time, especially our locations in South America and the Caribbean. We have locations in the Philippines. So, you know, and they see it as a privilege to work with ProctorU, you know, because we have, different benefits. We have proctor promotion programs and all kinds of things we've built just to, you know, because it can be a hard job, right? I mean, you're working directly with humans in high stress situations.
It's a very hard job.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And you're right. You're working with people
in
high stress situations.
You're right. They're nervous.
Yeah.
Some of them have never, you know, used the platform before. Right. So it's a really unique skill set. So, you know, as a company, we see that too, right? We want the best. So it's like, how do we
promote
them? And yeah, right.
It's
you have to build around that. So
I just want just an odd question. Can the students who are taking a test, can they see the proctor, or do you just hear the proctor's voice?
They cannot. They cannot. They
That's
can
good.
Hear the proctor's voice. They can communicate via chat and via, you know, voice. And, you know, we have assistive, I mean, we're, you know.
Of course. Of
for
course.
Accessibility, we have all that built in too. But, you know, that, so what's interesting is that's actually key for our service. You know, that was something that actually involved quite a bit of discussion, because we realized if the proctor's visible, it can be very distracting.
Oh, I agree.
Because,
I agree wholeheartedly.
Right, because it's almost like someone else, you know. So when the platform was developed, that was a.
I would have been surprised if you had said yes when I asked that question, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Okay, but I was just curious about it
because I did.
It's really, really
right.
something. So last question, because we got to go in a few minutes. It's a wonderful conversation, Ashley. I love it. Okay. What are the best solutions, I mean, for cheating? Okay, and you see cheating at the Air Force Academy as an example. They had a thing this year,
right.
And they have their famous honor code. All right, but still there's cheating.
Yep.
Okay, and so what is there a solution out there that you guys see, or do we just keep the proctors really
and
busy?
I'll,
yeah.
And I'll yeah. answer kind of, you know, as Ashley and Flash in my role, right, is fundamentally, I mean, well, Proctor U and what we do, we are a tool. You know, we are a tool that can be used for academic integrity. I mean, it's so powerful, even remote proctoring itself, as what a deterrent it is. And by that, I mean, if you know you are going to take an assessment and someone's watching you through a webcam who's trained to identify cheating behaviors and will jump in if you go and grab your phone, right? Then it quickly, I mean, that's just a tool in really what I call like a culture of integrity, right? It really becomes a deterrent. And what's interesting, even in, you know, we pull all kinds of statistics and metrics and stuff, at universities where we've been there a long time, and it's pretty much like if you're taking, you know, a multiple choice test or proctor use, proctoring this, you really can't cheat. Then we don't really see that many cases of you know, what I talked about, like incidents, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Like it goes way down because the culture has been created there, right? And it's just a tool. It's part of the tool bag in that culture. But, you know, there is power of that deterrent. So, and by a culture of integrity, so maybe this is more the Ashley hat, but it's like, you know, when you get moral disengagement in the system, essentially where you're like, well, Larry, I know Larry, like it's easy to cheat on this test. Maybe, you know, why should I have to study? That kind of thing. That happens, right?
Wow.
Because students actually feel they're disadvantaged. Like, if cheating is known and accepted, students feel at a disadvantage if they don't, right? You flip this weird behavior. Yeah, and that is, so if you want to talk about a culture of integrity, it's where you either use technology and tools, so even, you know, tools, for instance, that plagiarism checkers, things like that for papers, and faculty are actually reading the papers, and, you know, you can use tools, but it's really becomes a cultural thing. You know, you have a good academic process around what happens if somebody does, you know, break the rules or does break the honor code. Is there a good process? Are people actually held accountable? You know, are we, I mean, I do think it is, and research has shown, it is powerful, even, you know, we have some organizations and universities we work with that actually have students attest they're not going to cheat. And there is power to say, I'm not going to cheat on this test, right?
Yeah.
Because that's another kind of element that it's like you're going against something you've actually said out loud and promised.
What we learn as we get older is the whole purpose of being there in college or school is to learn something. And if you're cheating,
right.
you haven't learned it. Okay, and so you're worse off, not better off. All right,
right.
But exactly. When we're kids, we're too stupid to understand that. And you guys do a good job. You really do a great service over there. I got to tell you, I didn't know a lot about this. I got to tell you, Ashley. So this was really fascinating to me. I really enjoyed it. I got to thank you. We got to go in just a minute.
Sure.
This is great. Okay, thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I hope you beat the pants out of Ole Miss this week. Ole Miss, excuse me. Okay.
Yeah, roll tide.
So good luck. Enjoy the game. Have a hot dog. Think of me. Okay?
Oh, will do. Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Ashley. Bye-bye. Wow, that was great. What a terrific guest. That's Ashley, Dr. Ashley Norris down in Alabama. Okay? All right? And she is the chief academic and I'm in Maine, so she's down in Alabama. Okay? The chief academic and compliance officer over at Measure. That's Measure with a Z in the middle. Measure Learning, which is the parent company of Proctor U. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. And the basic concept is fairness. Okay? If one person cheats, it hurts everyone. Okay? It just isn't fair. You got to level the playing field. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Okay. Thank you, Ashley. That was great. All right. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you, Dr. Norris, and thank you all for listening.